Does anyone actually remember what I said? Had to do with something about the Winter Olympics?
Yeah.
Yeah, does anyone remember? Something about you go for a medal? Something about you... Come on, church, come on! Run the race to do well, right? It's not just about how we begin, but it's how we end. So some of you may know that the World Cup is actually coming up on Thursday. So I think it's really funny how God somehow orchestrates all of these things that I preach either at the end of the Winter Olympics or at the beginning of the World Cup. So God knows that, you know, I like sports. So God does have a sense of humor. God does want to have a personal relationship with you. So yeah, I thought that was really funny. That was really cool. So the World Cup starts this Thursday, for those that don't know. But don't worry, that's not my message, not about the World Cup today. So my message actually is about a heart that pleases God. I'm going on to my theme. And the subtitle is Childlike Faith. Thanks for that. Childlike Faith. What is childlike faith? Childlike faith actually is never mentioned in the Bible as per se as childlike faith. But we're going to go through it today because, you know, there are certain qualities about children that we even as adults have to receive from them. Amen? Yeah. Let's move on to our scripture. Our scripture today is Matthew chapter 18 verse 1 and 4. It's up on the screen. And it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to them, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom. So what can we see from this verse? The disciples, or you can say the adults, They asked Jesus, basically, how can I be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What qualities can I have that will make me the greatest? But Jesus provided a totally different perspective to them. He blew their minds. And he basically said that the way up is to be down. Wow. Jesus said that the way up to be the greatest is to be down. It's to humble yourself as like little children. And you know, in Matthew chapter 5 verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Or you can say, blessed are those that are humble, for they will inherit the earth. And you know, children. You know, I was a kid. Every one of us were kids before. You know, they possess certain characteristics that I guess we need to grasp from them. And you know what? Two characteristics. Straight up comes up that they're humble and they're teachable. You don't see a child, maybe some children, but not all children. They don't go, I know it all. I know more than Mr. Google himself. I know more than Mrs. Yahoo. I've never met a child that says that. If you do, please direct them to me. We need to humble them. But you know, children, they possess these two qualities. They're humble and they're teachable. And you know, those are really good qualities that we, even as adults, we need to have. We need to come into a state that we are humble before God. And that we say, God, teach me more. I really do not know it all. I need you, God, to teach me. And, you know, James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will kick you down. He will lift you up. And you know, it reminds me of that song, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, that he will lift you up higher and higher. It's not God will kick you down. If you humble yourself, it's not like God will kick you down. But he will lift you up higher and higher so that God will lift you up. Amen? Psalms chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. You know, recently, Dino and I, we've actually been memorizing scripture. And we have been very accountable with Pastor Machen. So at night time we go, have you done your verse? We remind each other. It's really good to have someone that's accountable too. So the last verse that we did, yesterday, the verse that we did was actually Psalms 8, verse 1 and 2. And it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And I love this verse. Out of the but you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Not the Marvel Avengers, but your enemies and your avengers. And it says, basically, this verse tells us that when we obey God, that we receive strength. I love that. Oh, amen, Amy, that's good. When we obey God, we receive strength, which God has already ordained before the beginning of the earth. And especially when we come in an attitude of humility, when we become humble, with like nursing infants or babes, His name causes the enemies to be silent and bow. Just like that song that we sang last week, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's go. Characteristics of childlike faith. There are three characteristics I want to talk to you today. Number one is they want to know truth. Number two, they trust your authorities. And number three, they're humble. So, number one, they want to know truth. Number two, they trust their authorities. And number three, they are humble. I'll say it one more time, because I don't think you can write as fast as I speak. That's okay. Number one, they want to know truth.
Amen.
Number two, they trust their authorities. Yeah. And number three, they're humble. They're so humble. Okay. They want to know truth. How is this applied in the physical? Okay? In the physical, and my parents can probably say amen to this, they ask lots of questions. So many questions. So many questions. What kind of questions do these kids ask? They ask questions such as curious questions. Hey Dad, why do I need to go to school? Hey Dad, why do I have to do this? They ask eager questions. They're eager to know answers. Hey Dad, why does this happen? Or they ask innocent questions. And I remember asking my parents this question. Mom, why can't I have ice cream for breakfast? Have you ever encountered that, parents? Have your kids ever come up to you and go, why do I need to go to school? Why do I need to learn? Why do I need to do my maths? Why do I need to spell? I don't need to do my ABCs. I'm good. Or they go, wait, seriously, why can't I have ice cream for breakfast? It's nice and cold, it's refreshing, you don't need to prepare it for me. I can just do it, right? Right? No? No? But the end motive of all of these questions is basically, teach me. Teach me what's right and what's wrong, right? And just like childlike faith, they ask openly. They don't subliminally go, hey, Mom,
can I have breakfast?
They don't mutter. They just ask it straight up, right? I think the youngest kid in here would be Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth, when you ask your mom a question, you ask it straight up, right? You don't go, hey mom, did you get that one? You ask it straight up because you want to know the answer to your question. So, you know, how can we apply this into a spiritual sense? I'm going to test you. Does anyone here have their life group notes? Their life group notes from session 3? No, that's okay, because I'm going to quote what Dr. Clarice Fluitt said, the last paragraph, so you can go back and you can have a read of those notes, okay? She said in session 3, when you said that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, come into my life, the work of the Holy Ghost, the Lord and the giver of life comes into you and says, I'm going to change you into Jesus. I'm going to make you a companion of life, of like nature and ability. I'm going to create you to rule and to reign in this life and throughout eternity. So basically what happens when we accepted Jesus into our heart, what came into us was the Holy Spirit to present us as holy, blameless, pure, perfect and spotless in the sight of God. And what you receive will turn you into Jesus, which is called the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
I thought that was a great way to end our session 3 last week. It was so great to see such an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, because we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So the spiritual context, we have John 16:13, and it says, when He, the Spirit of life, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to what is to come. Ezekiel 2:2 says, as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. You know, my dad, he actually texted me on Friday, and he said, Amy, what are you sharing this week? And I said, Dad, ask Holy Spirit. And, you know, I truly believe that you did ask Holy Spirit today, because there's no way in my wildest imagination that I would have thought I would come to church in Perth, Australia, and we would be singing Chinese songs. No way! Okay? So it's really great. So you see, what you do is you need to just ask the Holy Spirit. You need to just have a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. You know, just another example. When we were showing John Eckhart on Sunday when he was doing the deliverance, that was an amazing session as well. That was, wow. So I had Enoch sitting next to me, and John Eckhart, he actually said, let us all turn to Obadiah, the book of Obadiah. And my mind just went blank, and I was like, where is Obadiah in the Bible? And I whispered to Enoch, where's Obadiah? And then he looked at me with this blank face, and I was like, oh dear, I asked the wrong Malaysian child. But he replied, it's after Amos. And I was like, wow, it's true. It's after Amos. So you know what? I was just thinking to myself that, you know, everything that you have taught your children, you know, do not disregard it as it's nothing. It means nothing what I taught them when they were 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, whatever, to what age. Do not disregard what you teach them, because you will be amazed how much they can retain because of Holy Spirit that lives in them. It reminds me of a time as well. My dad, when he used to be up at work, we used to actually call him up at the shop. And we go, Dad, you haven't done Psalm 23 with us. And so what he would do is he would actually recite some lines and we fill in the blanks. And I remember us doing this, since long time ago, right, Dad? Long time ago. And then I also remember my parents telling me, you know, you need to cultivate your own relationship with God. You know what? You need to sing praise and worship to God. You know how they got us to do that? Sing out psalms. They used to get us to turn to a passage of psalms, and they used to say, with your own tune, create a song. And if you want to hear those, it's in a cassette tape. So if you do still have a cassette player, you can go and ask them. But basically, what they were teaching us is that, you know, we wanted to know what the truth was. And they basically said, you need to find it out yourself. You need to work it out yourself. And you know, in this spiritual context, each and every one of us, we need to cultivate a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Because, you know, Holy Spirit is the giver of life. Holy Spirit is our comforter. Holy Spirit is our friend. Holy Spirit is the one that we draw from. So each and every one of us, the main point here is just build a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Because it's your relationship. It's not my relationship with him for my husband. It's not my husband's relationship on behalf of me, but it's my own personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Amen? Number two, we have to trust our authorities. Trust our authorities. How does this go in our physical parents, okay? How? We listen and obey to our parents. We trust their every word, just like how my mom said, don't eat ice cream in the morning because you will probably get sick and you may throw up. I didn't throw up, but I did get sick. So I should have trusted my mom's every word because she does have experience in that area. So childlike faith means that you trust your parents. You trust what your parents say. How does this relate into a spiritual parent's context? I'll wait for you all to finish writing because I talk really fast and I don't want to be like Dr. Clarice Lewis. I want to be like my own Amy Tan. Amen. I'm not a rhyming, binding person. I'm my own person. Okay?
Amen.
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 Let's go. Spiritual parents. So our spiritual parents, you know, I'm so thankful for our spiritual parents, Pastor Joseph, Pastor Machen.
You know, ever since that I was young, I remember Pastor Machen, actually. He used to have youth study, or Bible study, at Pastor Joseph. We used to have Bible study, and they always used to get us to memorize scripture, okay? And I remember, oh man, this was the best day of my life back then. It was so good. We memorized our scripture, and they took us to Hungry Jack's. Oh, it was so good. It was like you memorize your scripture, and you get a reward. And I was thinking to myself, wow, we received such great guidance from our spiritual parents. You know, they bring us a spiritual covering and a protection that's found in 1 Corinthians 4:14. And you know, our spiritual parents, they provide sanity and sound thinking by what they share, what they demonstrate, and what they advise us on. They are that covering. That covering, they provide wisdom, interaction, and healthy warnings. Number two, they release impartation into your life. Never discount how much you can receive just from an impartation.
Yeah.
I will say that again. Never discount how much you can receive from an impartation. I remember back, I think it would be about 5 years ago now, when Pastor Joseph started declaring resurrection life. And I wanted that for myself. And I truly believe that it was even that impartation, what he spoke, when he laid hands on me, it was that impartation that actually allowed me to go, hey, I'm here preaching now. Because it's that impartation that I received from pastors, that deposit that they were able to deposit into my spirit. And you know, it's such great importance. They deposit into your life, and they're an example that we have to build upon. You know, they bring accountability and correction. I don't like this bit. I don't like being corrected. But you know what? We need to be corrected, because true correction is to help us grow both spiritually and emotionally. You know, basically it says, It says in Hebrews 12, 5 and 8, just write that down. Hang on, there am I. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. So that means that when we receive correction, we love. They do it out of love, not because they love seeing Amy. Ha, 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 ha. Correction again. Ha, 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 bad girl. No, they do it because they love us. They do it because, let's go to verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? What does that say? It says that if you get corrected, you're loved. If you get corrected, you're a son. And that's Dina's topic, so I'm not going to take that. But that means that you're corrected as a son. That means that you are a son of the house. You're not just a normal anybody out there, but you are a son. Amen? But if you are without chastening, of which I become partakers, you are illegitimate and not sons. Not sure about you, but I want to become, like my husband says, a true son of this house. A true son of this house means that I know that they're going, my spiritual parents are going to correct me, but in love. But also because I'm a true son of this house, or daughter. So correction helps us to improve and to grow as true sons. If you're a real son, you're able to take correction properly. Properly, yes. With the right attitude. You don't just take it like, I'm getting picked on, but you take it as, oh, maybe there's something right that I haven't, there's something I've been doing that hasn't been right. Maybe my eyes have been blinded to see that, no, I'm not actually doing what is right in the sight of God. But I need to be corrected to go move back into the right flow. You know? And I love the last one. They release an inheritance. I love this one. Because what they fought for, what our parents, our spiritual parents fought for, becomes our blessing. You didn't, we didn't earn it. But yet it is a gift of God that has been given to us. And you know how it says that we are to move from glory to glory? We are to build on what our spiritual parents have done. We're not to build under, because that's just useless. But we're to build up, upwards and onwards. Amen? Humble. You will love humble. You want to know why? Because there's a very cute video I'm about to show you. Humble. Physical. What does physical mean? How is our attitude? attitude when we receive instruction or correction? How do we receive it? Do we receive it like with, not like running up and down saying, yeah, I got corrected, yeah. But how do we receive that? Do we say that, yes, actually I did need that correction because I was going astray? Or do we go, nah, not me, not for me, it's for my husband. Yeah, it's for my husband, it's not for Amy, it's for Dina. Do we say that? Our childlike face is basically saying, I do not know everything. I do not know everything. And that's, okay, what I'm going to show you is I have got permission from this certain party to show you this video. So please do not think that I have just plastered it up here. But I just want to share just a brief background of what it was. So this video was taken about 3 years ago in outreach in Espresso Lab in Malaysia. And so what happened was, it's actually a video of Favor. Favor counting from 1 to 10, okay? And she counts from 1 to 10, but you'll see that she does miss some numbers. And what happened was that I actually needed to go through with her a few times and say, Favor, you're not doing it right. Like, you're missing some numbers here. You can't just jump numbers because you forgot it or you don't want to say it. So what happened was I probably had to go over it with her 5 times. Every time I went through with her, she was like, okay, yeah, I need to learn. She didn't go, no, Amy Chicha, it doesn't go like that. She didn't do that. She didn't give me attitude. She didn't give me sass. But she just took it as, yeah, I need to learn more. I need to be humble. Because Amy Chicha knows how to count from 1 to 10. She would hope. Being an accountant, she would hope I would know how to count from 1 to 10. So what happened was, after a few times, she got it. And so how can we apply this to our own lives is that even though we're taught the same thing over and over again, oh, it's Amy teaching about a heart that pleases God, it's our attitude of how we receive it. We can receive it graciously or simply just give up. So I'll let you watch this video. It's really cute. If you want, you can watch it twice because you've been a good audience. But yeah, let's see whether it works. Now let's go again, Favor. Does that make sense? No? That's okay. Basically saying that, you know, we need to grow. And I did ask her to give me another video, but she's forgotten. It's okay. But, you know, from each and every one of this, what does this apply into our spiritual life? How does this apply to our spiritual life? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Matthew 23, 12 says, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What we need to do is we need to basically cultivate a grateful heart. Yeah. We need to cultivate a grateful heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In correction, we give thanks. Ooh, that was cold. Ooh, no response there. In correction, we give thanks, amen? Yeah. In everything that we do, we have to have a grateful heart. Yeah. It's all about our attitude. And it's our attitude. If our attitude is wrong,
It won't please God. If our attitude is one of humility, if our attitude is one that we trust God, if our attitude is one that we trust our authorities, you know, God will be so pleased with that. Amen? So, what does this have to do? How does this tie back with everything I've been saying? And I'm sure this will be routine to most of you, but the last point says it all. We have to daily present our bodies back to God. We have to acknowledge that we die to ourselves and that we need more of God in our life. Amen?
Amen?
We have to daily present our life back to God. Basically saying, God, this body is yours anyway, so I present it back to you so that you are able to use me. That is being humble. That is saying, God, you know more than I do anyway. So you use me how you want me to use, how you want to use me. So our external attitude reflects our heart condition. There are two options we have. We can, number one, be willing to change, or number two, not willing to change. We can have pride. And you know, lately, Dino and I, we've been making it a bit of a joke within ourselves. But we say in the morning and at night, we say, good morning. And then we say, if it's to Dino, I go, good morning, Dino B810, I love you. And then he goes, my husband, Dino B810, I love you. And then he goes to me, he goes, good morning, my wife, Amy Mainly 10, I love you. Okay, and I was just thinking to myself this morning, because we make a bit of competition. I'm kind of winning on him. We make it a bit of competition, but you know what? I was thinking, God is saying to ourselves, every single minute of the day, Amy Mainly Tan, I love you. And I was just like, wow, that was good, God. Your Holy Spirit, that was, man, that was good. And you know, as many times as I can say, I love you, God the Father. I love you, Jesus the Son. I love you, Holy Spirit. It just doesn't compare to Him saying, I love you, Amy Mainly Tan. I love you, Amy Mainly Tan. I love you, Amy Mainly Tan. Because that's a constant thing that God is always doing to each and every one of us. But sometimes we forget. We forget to say it back to God. God, I love you, God the Father. I love you, God the Father. I love you, Jesus the Son. I love you, Holy Spirit. Sometimes we forget. But God is saying that He says it 100% of the time. Maybe sometimes we do 80%. And 70%. 60? 50? Maybe? Oh, you know? And it's something like that. Something so simple to know that God always loves us. But how do we love God? Do we always love Him? Or is it just a Sunday thing? Do we always say, God, I love you? Or do we just say it sometimes? And you know, I'll just leave you with this conclusion. End of the day, we have to check our heart condition. That's primarily what we can do. What we can go home and do, or what we can even do here today, is to check our heart condition. God, do I really trust you? God, do I trust my authorities? Do I listen to my authorities? Do I obey? God, am I humble? And it says, do we seek to know more of God? Do we wholeheartedly trust God? Or do we humble ourselves before Him? And this is really humbling. Like, for me, even just sharing this, I gotta check my own heart and say, do I even meet this criteria? And you know, God is saying that, you know, the Holy Spirit, He gives us grace to say that, you know, thank you, God, you're always talking to me. Thank you, God, that you're always teaching me, and that I need to know more of you because I really do not know anything. Mm. Mr. Google might know everything, but He doesn't know everything about Holy Spirit.
Yep. Yeah.
So we need to have our own personal relationship with Holy Spirit to know more of God, to know do we trust Him, to know do we humble ourselves before God. So this is very, it's also very humbling for me as well, because I need to go back and I need to say, do I really even do this for myself? Mm. So Heavenly
Father, Lord, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for Holy Spirit that is constantly talking to us, constantly giving us daily bread. So, Lord, we just say we're sorry, Lord. We don't say that we love you, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit 100% of the time. But, Lord, we choose right now, Lord, to ask Holy Spirit to remind us every day to say that, Lord. We thank you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We want to put our whole trust in you. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord. We want to trust our authority, Lord. We want to heed the voice of you, Lord. We want to obey your voice right now, Lord. And we just humble ourselves right now before your presence, Lord. And we just say, Lord, we need more of you. All of you, none of me. All of you and none of me right now. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you are working and dealing with each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that we can move from glory to glory. We can go higher and higher right now because of the Holy Spirit.